Perhaps could I have a second reading, please, which is from Mark 14.
14, verses 22 to 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
I haven't checked, but I don't recall seeing lots of statements in the Old Testament about giving thanks, apart from thank offerings and things like that. When they had the Passover, which, of course, the breaking of bread commemorates, they were told they had to be ready to go. They were told they had to wear their big coats and boots and everything whilst they were eating, because it was going to be a fast exit. But I don't sense, or I didn't sense, that there was a thank you in there anywhere. And the Old Testament seems to be more about just telling us and giving us facts. But the New Testament is full of thanks. And we read from Corinthians. Now, you all know what kind of a church Corinth was, don't you? No? Well, it was a pretty awful church. They were morally corrupt. You name it, they did it. Not just the people in Corinth, but also many of the Christians were sort of sucked into it. It was not a good church, or it was not a good town, and the church struggled, I think, with all this sin. Added to which, people must have hated each other, because they spent all the time in court suing each other. That was their national sport. So you get this picture now of a lot of confusion, a lot of probably anger. And then you get this letter from Paul. "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus." And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, this is the worst church in the worst city, and Paul is saying, "I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus." And the more I think about it, the more I think he's talking to the church leaders and the members who are following God and encouraging them, because they've got probably the worst job in the world. They're trying to turn round the church from all this sin and all this suing each other and hatred and everything else. And when you think about it, if it was a nice, placid church like this one is, you know, there's no major problems, are there? There's no, you know, we don't have running battles in the church, at least not yet. So I wonder whether Paul was talking to the people who were charged by God to turn this church around. They were selected by God. So that might be. If Paul were writing to this church, if he'd have founded this church and he was writing to us, what would he say? And you know something, I think he'd say exactly the same. He'd say, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. See, when we give ourselves to God in his service and we take up these sort of leadership positions and the influencing positions that many have, God starts a process within us, or at least according to Paul in Corinthians. It says, in him you've been enriched in every way. So God has started the work of enrichment, and I don't think we're talking here about finance. We're talking about their attitude to God and their attitude to the church members. And with a difficult church like Corinth, it must have been really difficult to, it's almost like treading on glass when you go to church because people are just waiting to take offence. So in him you've been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. So God has given these church leaders and the church members who are devoutly following God, he's given them knowledge, the ability to respond to all the situations that they end up in. Isn't that good? That God cares so much that he prepares his people for the job he's given them. And the worse the job, I guess, the more preparation is needed. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. So when we do what God wants us to do, God confirms the testimony. He strikes that note in people's hearts that say, listen to this, this is true. And I'm sure that the people in Corinth felt confident about going into and trying to resolve those problems. Because God was confirming their testimony. What they said, God supported. And people knew that this was from God, not just from the church members. You do not lack any spiritual gifts. So God has given the people there the spiritual gifts that they will need to work in that environment. He will also keep you firm to the end, and that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he helps them to be consistent in their ministry. Of interest, he says, I always thank my God for you, because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. And I sense that Paul, on a daily basis, prays for all the churches that he's founded. And he does that every day. And he thanks God for those in Corinth, in that very difficult situation, who are working in the God's guidance to try and turn the church round and bring it into what God wants it to be. And I'm sure he did for the church at Philippi. There were no problems in Philippi. It was pretty. It was a nice church. In fact, Paul wanted to be there with them. But I'm sure that Paul would have said, I thank you every day. I thank God every day for you there working for him. And as you go through the different churches, and as you see the different problems they have, then you kind of work out that God is giving the workers there everything they need to be able to do the job they have to do. He gives them spiritual gifts. He gives them knowledge. He gives them confidence. He gives them faith. All those things so that he can support the people. And then, of course, God encourages people like Paul, Peter, and the other people around to pray for them as well. So these churches are surrounded in prayer and surrounded in support. So what about us? We don't have major problems. We want to attract people in the village into the church so they can meet with God. And God will equip us as we agree to support what he wants us to do. He'll give us the words to say. He'll give us the kind of policies that we need to have to attract the village. And it's interesting to me, and it was really felt good the first time I came and we had carols on the green. Get in the church, out there, and the villagers coming and recognising the work that we were doing. Not this year, though, because it rained. And Easter's coming. And we're going to have Easter on the green or somewhere out there to witness to the people of this village. And I'm sure between now and then there'll be a lot of outreach to encourage people to come along. Now, Jesus is part of the Godhead, three in one. And you would think that when Jesus talks to God, he doesn't need to thank God because he is God or something. You know, that's the nature of the Trinity. But we read, and the second reading had it, that when they went into the upper room to celebrate the Passover, what did Jesus do? He took the bread and he gave thanks. Then he broke it and gave it to the people. And he said, when they've eaten, he took the wine and gave thanks. And it said both times, we thank God that Jesus came and died, although that was still in the process at the time. And we thank God for his blood. We thank God for his broken body. Our salvation, the things that changes our lives. So Jesus says thank you quite often. The feeding of the 5,000. I wonder how many people went up to the disciples afterwards and thanked them. Well, they just had a big meal, hadn't they? Didn't cost them anything, and they had more than enough and a bit to spare. And I guess that a lot of those people would have passed by the various disciples of Jesus and say, thanks for that, that was really good. So we have to learn to say thank you for all the things that God's done for us. Now, suggest you get a piece of paper some stage and start writing down exactly what he has done for you. Because at that point, you can realise the enormity of what Jesus did. It said God sent his son into the world. But Jesus wanted to come to fulfil God's vision. Jesus volunteered to come as a man and to suffer as he did, so that we could have our sins forgiven, so that we could then get on and build the kingdom of God. Do we thank God enough? Or do we just take it for granted? Whenever I walk in this church, the one thing I notice is it's warm. I think it's probably because it was on this morning and it's been on most of the day. Do we thank God that we can worship in a comfortable environment? It's always very clean. You know, you don't see litter in this church. It's always clean. Do we thank God for those who come and do what they do to make the church as pleasant as it can be? So my belief is that we should spend a bit more time thanking each other and thanking God, because we are workers together in Him. We'd all work in doing different things. We have different gifts. But we need to thank God for those gifts, and we need to determine that we're going to use those gifts in His service. As they say about churches, about a third of the people make things happen. And another third of the people watch things happen. And the final third wonder what happened. Where do you sit in this? Are you in the middle, making things happen, in touch with God, working with Him, thanking Him, accepting the gifts He gives us and putting them to good use? Or are you in the middle where perhaps you just want to watch? It's comfortable watching, isn't it? Handy if you want to criticise as well. But there are those, many of them in the church, who just watch. And wouldn't it be nice if they stepped up and said, I want to do more for God? And the third category, we don't talk about them at this point. We just have to keep hoping that they'll come further into the centre. Because what this church needs, instead of a third of each kind, we want most of the church, the bulk of the church, committed in the service of God. We want God to equip us to be able to do the job He wants us to do. And then we can thank Him for what He's done for us. And those around can thank God for us. And the church moves forward and grows in faith, in spirituality. So if you think we got problems, well, Corinth had more. And it must have been the worst job in the world trying to placate and turn these people to God. But they did. And Paul said, I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. Let's hope that if Paul writes a letter to this church, which is probably unlikely at this point, that those are the words that he would use. I thank God for you and your submission to Christ and your willingness to serve Him. Amen.